The Survivor Know-It-Alls is made possible because of the support of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. You can see everything that we're doing for our patrons and see that there's no fine print to read there. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after a wild double episode, Stephen Fishback.
Wow. It wasn't even a wild double episode. It was like a wild 10 minutes. It was like, you know, it was like kind of nutty in the second half. And then like the end, it just exploded. Like I've been trying in the past, you know, I guess 20 minutes to like write a blog about this. I don't even know, like, even just typing the things that happened is, like, too confusing to understand. Like, even just writing, like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. It's like, well, why did any of those things happen? Like, let alone getting into, like, what caused these things to happen. You know, it's just beyond convoluted, Rob. I'm excited to talk about it with you.
So there's a lot to unpack. Hopefully you and I can talk our way through it. Stephen, have you been inundated with people on Twitter saying, now that's how you use the advantage?
No. Yeah, literally nobody's okay, saying good. That's how you use the advantage.
Good.
I do feel good that if the advantage can destroy Ceri's game, then I don't feel so bad for it destroying my game.
Yes, Ceri incorrectly used the advantage. You should be like flaming Ceri right now. Stephen.
Yeah. No, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And Sarah also actually incorrectly used the advantage because she did not need that extra vote. So
a little ticky tack there. A little being a little petty.
No, that's the whole point is that like to play these things like quote correctly, unquote, where like A, it actually has an impact on the vote, and B, it like, well, I guess that's it, just A. Where it actually has an impact on the vote. It's so situational. Like, yeah, I mean, anyone can just play it at any old time. There's no like, but like, look, I mean, no question. Sarah did some really incredible, weird game maneuver here. Let's talk about it, Rob.
Let's talk about it all. Okay, let's just set the stage here tonight. We are live here. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions later on in the show, like we do. And we will also...
That's how we do it. That's what we do.
Steven, 1 week from tonight is the Survivor finale as well. So yes. This is it. 1 week to go until we crown a winner of Survivor Game Changers, the ultimate game changer. A lot of stuff going on. Double exit interview tomorrow. I will speak with Andrea and Michaela, who I would not have thought was going out based on what I thought going in. I didn't even think she was a target.
Oh, I was so pleased with myself. I called Andrea and Michaela because like last week she had the whole tie thing. She kind of got airtime out of nowhere. Then in the first half of the episode, like that weird fish scene, I was like, Michaela's done. I don't know how it's going to happen, but she's going
home. I thought you would have come in saying, oh, Aubrey visibility spike. You thought that she
Aubrey,
was going
Aubrey's still no visibility. She won freaking immunity. She was barely in the episode.
No, she was in. She was all over. This was her, like, I think the episode that she was in the most this season.
Yeah, most, you know.
Come on, Steven, stop.
Point one is greater
bullying.
Than zero.
This is bullying. Edit bullying going on right now from Stephen Fishback. That's a term.
You are fake news. You are such a snowflake. My God. You really are this podcast.
Okay. Yeah. So then we got a big show coming up. We'll talk with Spencer Bledsoe as well.
Oh.
And talk with him. Let me get his take on everything going on with Sarah Lucina, who once upon a time he played with back in Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
So we will. Yes.
What, is he the reigning Mr. Survivor?
Yes, as of now. Yes, as of now. The one and only. We may never do it again.
Not the one and only, right?
Well,
wasn't there one
Malcolm
before?
Malcolm was before him.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Okay. And then also on the voicemails, Mike Bloom will be joining me. So get your voicemails in. Rob@website.com/voicemail. Steven, let's start. This was a really bad night for Suri. I think that everybody that we talked to, certainly almost everybody in Toronto, was talking about how, like, hey, as long as Suri wins this thing, I'm going to be good. And this was a night.
What a highly specific thing. As long as this tiny, like minuscule chance thing of happening happens, I'm going to be okay.
Suri had a really rough night. And,
bad night for Suri.
You know, I'm sure we'll start off talking a lot about the second tribal council, but I got to be honest, I didn't understand the move to get rid of Andrea at Final Eight. I thought that Andrea was in a position. I don't know who else Andrea had in the game. I don't think Andrea was. I think Andrea was looking at Suri as a potential final three person, and I don't really understand why Suri needed to take Andrea out at Final Eight.
Well, here, okay, so I was actually just texting with Wiggler about this, and he was kind of making. The
oh,
same
you,
point.
Steven, like, I'm tripping over that name you just dropped on the floor.
Yeah, you know. So, and he was sort of saying the same thing that you are, which, you know, you guys are wrong. No, so let me make the counter argument, okay? Because I certainly see that point. Like, why get rid of Andrea? She's a big meat shield for Suri. But I did think, and actually I was surprised, Rob, that it seems you were right about something. Oh, you've been saying for a while that it looked like Sarah, Michaela, and Suri might be a final three group. And that really seemed to be the case this episode, right? At least until Suri ruined that. That was a group that was conceiving of itself as a final three group. Now, let's say that they do go along and vote out Brad instead of Andrea, right? They know that Andrea is coming for Sarah, that Andrea wants Sarah out. So now suddenly, the other group you have is you have Aubrey and Andrea, who are super tight, mm-hmm. right? Ty and Aubrey have some relationship, and you got Troy's in. I think if I'm Suri and my group is me, Sarah, Michaela, and I, like, if I get out Brad, like, there's a very real chance at seven that you're in danger from a group of Andrea, Aubrey, Troy's in, and Ty, who all very well might want to vote for Sarah at that point.
Yeah, so you make some interesting points here. If we look at it from a voting block perspective, okay, you're saying that voting block one is Suri and Sarah and Michaela. That's right. One voting block. Another right. voting block is Andrea and Aubrey. And then right. another voting block is Brad and Troyzan and maybe Ty. Ty is sort of like a little bit of a straggler, and maybe he can go anywhere. But does it that so if. If Sarah was coming for Andrea and Andrea was coming for Sarah, then Suri is forced to make a decision. Do I protect Andrea or do I protect Sarah here?
Right.
But couldn't she that they couldn't get everybody on the same page there to in that group of five and take out another person from that side? And I know that we're asking for people to vote for people that we know have idols, but those idols didn't get played, so I'm not sure necessarily if that word would have gotten back to them. Troyzan still has his idol. Ty still has two idols. Can't believe Ty hasn't played an idol yet.
I know. I was so amazed that this episode Ty didn't play an idol. Like, he's got, you know, yeah. ice water for veins.
But one of my big questions for Andrea is, what is Andrea's final three at that point in the yeah. game? And I'd love to know what, you know, I just wish that we could get these people on the same page, because you would like this alliance to stay together.
Who do you think they should have voted out?
I mean, that if you could have, I mean, we saw Aubrey talking about Troyzan. And honestly, just watching the episode, I'm not sure who else they were talking about potentially. But it's tricky because you have all these idols in play. But especially when Aubrey had immunity on that first one, I feel like you got to put the votes on Brad.
Yeah.
Take yeah, Brad out. Yeah. He's such an immunity yeah. threat. He's blocking them from winning immunities.
Yeah. And Brad, and, you know,
I mean, we know that also he's the only person that doesn't have an idol on that side. This was the yeah. shot.
Yeah, this was a good shot. Because even, but the thing is, like, by breaking up, right, either they're breaking up the Brad Troyzan pair or they're breaking up the Aubrey Andrea pair. The Aubrey Andrea pair is more allied to them than the Brad Troyzan pair
is. And for Suri, that I really feel like that Andrea wasn't coming for Ceree. She might have been coming for Officer Sarah, but she wasn't coming for Ceree. And right. I feel like that Andrea was attracting so many bullets on that side away from Ceree, yeah. and really was the reason why Ceree has been able to go without a vote, and still to this point, to go without a vote. But let's talk about this second tribal council, because Ceree really bit off more than she could chew with this maneuver, where Sarah gave her this advantage and said, okay, I'm going to try to, you know, earn your trust by you hold this thing for me. And Ceree attempted to pull off a move with an insane degree of difficulty and failed on, just a fundamental level of the most amazing race thing that's ever happened on Survivor. She didn't read the clue.
Most amazing. That's great. Here's my take. I think Ceree, let me know what you think. I think Ceree was trying to, you know, she says like, oh, I'm trying to save Sarah from herself. I think she was also trying to set up her own jury case and basically destroy Sarah's jury case. Because like, if she can show in front of the jury that she saved Sarah using her own advantage, like then if she does go to the final three with Michaela, who, you know, gets on everyone's nerves, and Sarah, who she is only in this game because Ceree saved her with her very own advantage. You know, I think then Ceree has a really strong argument and kind of like undoes a lot of Sarah's argument. The problem is like, this is too much. Even if Ceree had been right about the advantage, right? There's so much that has to go right here for this move to work. You know, there's a good chance. Let's say that there was no fine print issue at all. And Ceree's like, I'm going to take this advantage and, you know, I'm going to get whatever rat is out there. There's a good chance that Sarah stands up and is like, hey, that's screwed up. Everyone vote for Ceree. Like, you know, she's lying to me. Or Sarah does something. You know, there's a good chance that Ty does play his idol. Like, that's one thing I didn't get at all, Rob, which is, you know, Ceree's like, well, I'm worried about Ty. I think he's a rat. But I'm worried he has an idol. So what I'm going to do to make sure he doesn't play his idol is tell him that he's a very possible target tonight and that I can only save him with his incredibly confusing advantage. Like, how is that going to not get Ty to play his idol?
I don't know, because Ty never plays his idol unless somebody tells him to play his idol.
Yeah, but I bet, like, if Ty were the... I mean, if it did come down to Ty like that, you know, I mean, how is he not... In that case, he's got to play his idol, right? Like,
yeah.
If things hadn't gone haywire, I'll bet there's a good chance Ty would have played.
Yeah,
his
idol. Yeah, so. I think you're right about that. And also, on top of that, I I'd love for you to explain this to me also of how was Ceree saving Sarah? Like, I need you to explain to me exactly, you know, where the threat to Sarah was on that vote. But just in terms of if this worked, if Ceree stole Sarah's vote and then used it to vote out Ty at that tribal council, I can't imagine Sarah's going to like that the next day, where the next morning they say Sarah's going to be like, you know what? That was I got to thank Ceree. She took my vote and I'm still here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, if right, the one situation is if Ty and Brad and Culpepper all voted for Sarah to go home. But even so, you've still got enough votes on her side to counteract
that. Was that actually happening? Were those guys voting for Sarah at that vote?
I mean, my guess is that they were voting for Michaela, right? Like, that's why, like, that Michaela plan went off so smoothly.
So I just don't understand how that was going to ultimately be this great demonstration to Sarah where, hey, I know that you guys want... Like, Sarah originally came into that vote wanting to vote out Aubrey.
Sarah claimed she wanted to vote out Aubrey because she thought Aubrey was the one who was stirring up misinformation. You know, Ceree was... But how could Ceree be so sure that, you know, that Ty... Even if Ty did say to Aubrey, let's vote out Sarah, that doesn't mean that that's going to be the plan the next day or that night.
There's so
many
issues with this plan. And look, we all love Ceree. Ceree is fantastic. I say she's the best player to never win. Steven has been more critical of Ceree over the years.
Oh, my God. But I hate it when you say this. You make these things up in order to throw me under the bus.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
No, I'm not going to let that stand. Rescind that. Rescind that, and then we can move forward.
Fine, just for the sake of moving forward. But, But that that this argument that we're talking about, that Suri needed to do this to be able to show the jury that she was the one controlling this game, she is Suri damn Fields. I don't think she needs to do this to the jury. I mean, she's got so many people that are on the jury that I think, especially after everything with the balance beam, everybody is really super high on Suri. I mean, who is the anti-Suri voice on this jury? Unless we're saying that, okay, oh, Sarah is doing so much that she'll end up being able to beat Suri in the final three. It was just, it was so extra, Steven.
I agree. It was so extra. I mean, I don't necessarily think she's wrong, though, right? The
who was wrong?
Sierra, that Suri was wrong, that she needs to do something for her jury game. You know, I listened to your interview with Sheriff Sierra last week, and she was saying, like, our perception of Suri was that she was just, like, sitting there and doing nothing. And, you know, that beautiful balance beam moment notwithstanding, no one's going to vote for her to win. Just because they liked her in the past seasons and because she managed to finish a challenge after the challenge was over. You know, I think she does. I think she's right that she has to prove herself or be there with people who they don't like. Right. And I think that's kind of her goal with Michaela and Sarah. I think we're all such huge Suri fans, except I know you privately will say a lot of nasty things about her.
You
pull this with me. You can't expect me. Yeah. I think when you're actually out there, right, you don't necessarily think, like, what did she do in her past few seasons? You think, like, what have I seen her do with my own two eyes on this beach? And, if Sierra Dawn is to be believed, you know, there wasn't that much. So she's got to do something. This was not the something to do.
And I wonder if Suri ended up falling prey to just this talk of, hey, I need to put a big move on this game. I need to put my stamp on this to be able to say, where I really do feel like that if Suri was able to sit there in front of that jury and say, hey, over the course of four seasons, you know, I was that person that got up to play off the couch. Maybe I didn't have a big move in this game, but I worked on, I got you out. She did make moves in this game. They may not have been sort of like flashy moves at Tribal Council, live tribal type things, but Suri certainly put her stamp on this game. And we talk about, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when she had Brad and Troy, Zan and Sierra all end up voting for Ty so that they could have, who did they get out on that vote? That was a Zeke vote?
So you're saying this is like Leo winning the Oscar for The Revenant. Like, he was fine in that performance, but it was really about, like, a lifetime achievement or a career of a good
I do think that if she got to the final Tribal Council, and I guess she might, but really, she looks to be, I mean, from my outside view, looks to be drawing dead at this point, where that if Sarah and Brad and Troy Zan all just voted together, and Ty has two idols. Sarah still has the legacy advantage, which is going to be playable at this next vote, and also Troy Zan's idol. So that you know, lots of idols, a legacy advantage. She looks like she is the person least likely to win immunity here. It does not look good for Suri to make it past the next vote. Her key ally voted out at this tribal council. I do feel like that if she got to the final three, that I feel like that she would have, you know, a great case to make.
Right. Well, should we step through kind of what actually happened? Because it's like, it was so convoluted, like how this came to be at all. I want to, if you don't want to do that.
Talk it through.
Oh, so the first, I also want to know, like, why Sarah stole Ty's vote. Anyway, we'll get there. So basically it starts with Aubrey and Ty on the beach, and they're like, we need to make a big move. And Aubrey's like, well, what about Sarah? Like, getting out Sarah would be a big move. Or maybe Ty says that. And Ty's like, yeah, I would get out Sarah. And then Aubrey, like, goes and, like, here's even the first confusing part. Aubrey says something like, Ty's big move is getting out Sarah, but my big move is getting out Ty. Like, I'm already lost because, like, is that a big move, getting out Ty?
Yeah. I don't know. We waited all season for Aubrey and Ty to get back on the same page. Ty's got to stop being friends with Aubrey.
I
she has
know.
To stop listening to him.
Yeah. So like, A, like, I'm already gone. And then Aubrey takes this to Ceri, who takes it to Sarah. And Sarah's like, there's no way I trust Ty. And Ceri's like, no, you're wrong. Like, I trust Aubrey. Now, just because one person has reported that someone else has suggested you're being targeted does not at all mean you're being targeted. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Ceri and Sarah are both right here. But Sarah at this point decides to prove how right she is, give Ceri her advantage, which we now know is kind of like a fake gift to like, but she's not even doing it to prove trust with Ceri. She's doing it to be like, I'm so certain of this that I'm going to hand you this advantage as like a sign. And I thought that was like, it's genius, right? It's like genius theater. But isn't there also a huge risk for Sarah at this point that Ceri is going to do the exact same thing that Sarah did last week and vote out someone to get the to keep the advantage?
Sure, but I wonder if that Sarah might have, you know, really crossed her T's and dotted her I's on this and read that right. part about this is non-transferable. I wonder if she checks with a producer and says, hey, let me just check with this. So,
oh, yeah.
But you're right. That does that. If Ceri doesn't know, could Ceri have knocked her out of the game? And maybe Ceri isn't able to use that advantage, but Sarah would still be out of the game at that point.
Right, exactly. Like, even if it's not about, like, Ceri using the advantage, it's like, Ceri's just like, ooh, pretty, like shiny object. Like, I want this for me, you know? Like, that's an awful lot of trust to have in someone.
Right. And so that ultimately what ends up happening is also like the exact opposite of what Ceri wanted to happen, where in front of the jury, she ends up looking really good and ends up doing this powerful move. And she ends up coming off impotent in front of the jury, and she goes to use this thing. It does not work. It goes back to Sarah, and Sarah is the one who's really able to dictate the action. So it ends up being a major power move for Sarah.
Yes, and Sarah now, like, it's funny because, like, Sarah now incorrectly thinks Ceri was going to betray her because Ceri was going to take Sarah's vote so that Sarah didn't vote for Aubrey, even though nobody was voting for Aubrey. And like, so Sarah, like, understandably is going to think, like,
well, Ceri did vote for Aubrey.
Yeah, but only after, like, the insanity, right?
Right. Where, and I think this was also a very bad sign for Ceri, where she ends up being left out in the cold in terms of whatever plan they told her after that everybody sort of conferred in Shades of the Combined Tribal Council Part 2, where the plan that she gave was given was not the right plan.
So why did, I mean, did Sarah, did Sarah take Ty's vote just to not trigger an idol play from whomever her actual target was? Like, that's my only
It's a great question. Justification. I really don't know. And then why, if Sarah really wanted Aubrey to be the person to go home, why didn't she have Brad and Troy also vote for Aubrey? Why was Michaela the person that went home? Because Michaela was the least likely person to have an idol played on her?
I thought that, like, the Brad, my assumption was that, yeah.
Actually,
that
if I had to guess, I would think that maybe in Sarah's mind, Aubrey and Ty are a pair at that point, and possibly if they were going to put the votes on Aubrey, Ty at this point is triggered. He's going to maybe play an idol on her. And so that's maybe why they didn't put the vote on Aubrey and why they took Ty's vote away. But
yeah, but Aubrey is trying to stir the, I mean, like, at least as far as Sarah thinks, like, Aubrey is trying to stir them up against Ty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why not take Aubrey's vote away is the better question, because
I mean, maybe because they think, like, Aubrey is gonna, I mean, again, like, the only thing my thought is that Brad and Troy were voting for Michaela. That was their, like, throwaway, like, hey, guys, everyone vote out Michaela plan, you know, and that sort of, like, maybe from a similar place that JT was coming from, where, like, you know, I'm tired of being bullied into having to fish for Michaela, you know. And then so it was just Sarah knowing that was like, all right, like, I'm going to vote for Michaela and get her out because, you know, she's a part of this. Like, rather than trying to completely change the vote to Ceri, but, you know.
Yeah. I do think, though, that this was a bad move to take Ty's vote away rather than Aubrey. If Sarah feels like Aubrey was the person to target her, what happens at the next vote, Stephen? Because now we're at 6, okay? And we have that Sarah just voted with Brad and Troy. Okay, that's great. that's three, but you need four at six. And especially with this crazy tiebreak rule that now happens, if we get a 3-3 vote split at the next tribal council, if Suri and Aubrey and Ty vote together, that's now a 3-3 split. Although I even think
Ty is not going to vote with them. Like people, Aubrey just tried to, vote him out.
No, did Aubrey? I guess Aubrey did vote against Ty.
Yeah, and Michaela did, and Brad right. or whomever says to Ty at the end, those Sarah two just voted for you. What?
Sarah took his vote. So
yeah, but I think my guess is that was that she gave him the heads up, right? She immediately goes to Ty and says whispers something in his ear. My guess is that she said hey, I'm going to take your vote, but you're safe, and that's why he doesn't play an idol.
Yeah, well, I don't really understand why she would take his vote away rather than Aubrey.
I don't either. I really don't either. Maybe she said you're safe, but I don't, I can't, I, we got to find out. Yeah.
And just because people have voted against Ty doesn't mean he won't work with them. We've saw that, Sierra and Brad and Troyzan voted against him.
Is he going to weigh more heavily Sarah's taking his vote? And again, she went over to him first and said something, mm-hmm. right? So I think I still have confidence that she justified. And Sarah seems to have a close relationship with Ty, right? When Suri said Ty's out to get you, Sarah couldn't believe it, right? She was not Ty. Ty would never be out to get me.
Right. So if Sarah and Ty talk and they can sort of suss out that Aubrey was sort of pushing him in that direction, really, it'll come down to who has the better relationship with Ty, Aubrey, who has been the Ty whisperer at times, which we got to see that back tonight, or will Sarah and Ty be able to clean that up? I mean, to me, it looks like Suri and Aubrey, in some order, probably will go out 5-6.
That's my bet, right? I mean, Ty is safe for those two tribal counts. Although, I wasn't watching the preview, but someone tweeted at me that, you see him handing the...
Yeah, it looks like in the preview that he's at least contemplating giving an idol to Brad, which is not the best idea. Not the best
bad
idea.
Decision making.
Not the best idea I've heard. So we'll see.
But I agree. The crazy thing is Suri really had the game. I mean, if Sarah and Suri were really solid with each other to the final three, or. It looked like for the first time, she was in a really good spot to go all the way.
She really was. And that's why I go back to the Andrea thing at eight, where she had a good five. And this alliance, really going back to when they had Zeke, they had six. And they said, okay, well, let's pick off one of our own numbers here. And then they go back to Sierra, which is a good move. But then at five, they still have five. And they're like, oh, let's pick off another one of our own. And then they get it down to only four against potentially three. Or I guess five versus two if you count Ty. But they keep picking at people on their own side. Leave Brad and Troy there. Great night for Brad and Troyzan.
Yeah, great night for Brad and Troyzan. I agree. It is crazy that none of them, they're so focused on the end. They're not thinking of the game right in front of them. And look, I have been there. I literally did the exact same thing. I was like, how am I getting from 6-3? And I'm not even thinking about 9, 8, and 7. Mm-hmm. So I completely, you start to think ahead. And I really think that's what happened with Suri here, where she had this whole brilliant scheme in her head. And she was so certain that this scheme was brilliant that she didn't even shut her ears to everything that could and did end up going wrong with it.
Now, Steven, also a doubly huge night for Brad and Troyzan. Troyzan got a confessional.
Wow. this is his eighth in 12 episodes or 13
episodes.
So
kudos to Troyzan for getting a confessional. What was it? He said, Brad Culpepper's got immunity tonight, so that I know he's not going home, so maybe I'll play my idol.
Oh,
yeah. I think that was what it was. I didn't transcribe it, so we will end up seeing. So, Steven, I thought Advantage Geddon was coming tonight.
I was surprised that it was as wild as it was. I mean, I think that next week Sarah plays her thing.
Well, she plays the Legacy Advantage at six. That's the only time that she can still play.
Well, she has to play at the first Tribal Council. there's always the chance, right, that one person playing something triggered, like, you know, in the final six for Cambodia, right? I think Jeremy played his thing, which triggered Kelly playing her thing, right? Mm. So as soon as one person plays an idol, then everyone's like, oh.
There's only two tribal councils left to play things also.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Ty is definitely, I mean, if he doesn't hand one over, he's definitely got to play at least one. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, what we could end up seeing if there's some sort of talk, you could end up with at the next tribal council where Brad plays an idol, Ty plays an idol, Troy plays an idol, Sarah plays the legacy advantage. You know, Aubrey is immune, and we don't even have a vote.
What would they do?
Sari goes home.
Oh, yeah, I was missing. Sorry, Sari.
There's nobody else here to vote for. Although that would be very silly because they could just vote off Sari at that point.
Do you think Sari's stock as a final tribal person has just increased? Like, you know, now she's a goat.
She's not a goat. I mean, unless you're talking about the greatest of all time, we could talk about that. But
no, but if the perception of her was already that she hadn't done very much, right? Like, you know, like Sierra Dawn Thomas said, I'm going to be so happy when this season. I know we've all joked about it 1,000 times, but like talking about it live and then even like writing about it, Sierra series. I'm so going to be so happy when we're done with this and we just have a season filled with people with different names.
You hope.
Anyway,
next season could be Rob's versus John's.
Oh God. So anyway, if the actual perception of her is that she hasn't done very much, right? And now she, like, her biggest moment is a huge screw up, like, you know, Michaela's out of the game, right? Who are you taking? Who are you sure that you can beat? Like, it's possible. Sari is that person.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Steven.
I don't think so, Rob. I have been a Sari fan for so long. You don't even know.
I don't even know that you've been a Sari fan since Heroes versus Villains.
No,
the first time you watched a season of Survivor that was on the air.
I was a Sari fan from the first season I watched after they called me Micronesia. I was like, I like this one.
All right, Steven, let's go back to Michaela and Ty. That I know it's an underreported story. Michaela got voted out. Last week? Oh, Michaela and Ty. What a pain. Oh, they're working on something. And I was saying, like, what is this with Michaela? This week, Michaela hates Ty. She's
no,
like,
no relationship.
Yeah, no relationship with Ty. What happened? What happened to all of, Michaela's laying the groundwork. Oh, she's got this final two deal with Ty. All of a sudden, nothing changes. I hate Ty. I have to get Ty out of the game. I don't trust him.
Did she say that?
She didn't say I hate Ty, but she was like, you know, Ty is shady. We got to get rid of Ty.
Yeah, that was fast. You know, some relationships are long, like ours, and some are just, you know, the span of a day.
Yeah,
you know, but that's the beauty of life.
And we saw Michaela back with Sari. I was like, okay, that's good. But Michaela, who was like cultivating this Ty vote, she was like leading the charge. You need to vote Ty out. She voted for Ty tonight.
Honestly, I'm so, like, there are so many decisions in this that are like, look, when you get to day 32 or whatever, 33, I think, you know, you are definitely making bad decisions. And I think we're seeing that on the air, you know, like your brain is really shut down. You're not thinking correctly. And, you know, you see people making like tremendously subpar decisions. That's because they're freaking exhausted. You know, their brains are spent, their bodies are spent. Like, we're seeing the results of that on air. Every step of the way, you're like, what are you thinking? Like, and they're not.
Yeah. So, to go back to Michaela with the Brad Culpepper scene, like, was I missing something? Did she just go that she wanted to vote out Brad Culpepper but told him go fish before you get voted out?
Yeah, she was hungry. And it's funny,
was there
like,
an ultimatum
like,
there? Was it just like go fish before you're getting voted out later? We need you to go fish before you get voted out.
Yeah, it wasn't even blackmail. It was like, just do this thing. It was, you know, it's like last week at the Live Know-It-Alls in Toronto, Brett LaBelle was saying how that was what irked people with about Michaela, is that she would just like tell them work that like that they should do. And mm-hmm. I think this is an example of that. It's funny that Brad was like, she's blackmailing me. I'm not going to give into that. Like, this wasn't blackmail. This was just like an order. Like, there was no quid pro quo here.
Yes. No. Just go do it. I'm not going to not vote you out if you do it. Like, we're just... Yeah. Just go and do it. Stephen, do we need to give credit to Brad and Troy for getting Sarah to vote with them at this sort of wacky second tribal council tonight? Or were they just sort of like in the right place at the right time and Sarah was going to vote with them because they weren't actively trying to screw her over like other people might have been?
Yeah, I think the latter, right? Like, they kind of just sat back and... Right.
If they were in it on it in some way, we didn't see it.
Right. And like, you know, everyone says they did a lot more than they did, and they did, right? Like, a lot more happens that we don't see. You know, Troy was just tweeting on Twitter. I guess that's where one does it. that
our tweets was canon, Steven?
No, they're not. But he was saying that he was the first person to say that the legacy advantage was non-transferable. Now, that raises a host of other questions.
And the again, legacy like, advantage or the vote?
The vote steal was non-transferable. So, how that came about is very confusing. And, like, no, tweets are not canon. But, you know, it just gets to the idea that, like, we can ask Michaela actually tomorrow if you have time. If you can, like, how that all played out. I'm sure you will. Yeah. Obviously, like, I'm sure everyone's gonna be asking that.
I did like the Michaela and Troyzan confrontation where she was like, "Hey, we're talking here." He's like, "What? I can't stand here. What? I can't stand here." She's like, "Step back. Get out of here."
Yeah, that was great, but I wish there were more subtitles at these little scrambles. Do you think it's just too quiet for the mics?
I don't know. It might be. It might be sort of like that they can't make out what they're saying. And Stephen, did you like that this happened? You know, we talked about it at the Combined Tribal Council where I said that this is my concern now, that now once people have started getting up out of the chairs, we're going to get this a lot.
All the time.
People are going to go over there and they're going to huddle, and it's going to be interesting to see in future seasons how much Jeff is going to let this play. Did it bother you in any way that it's like, okay, let me go talk to this person?
Yeah, I loved it at the JT Tribal, right? Is that like the first time that that's ever happened? I think that is the first time that like people have gotten out of their seats and gone into like groups and done it.
So hold on. That it's the JT Tribal now?
Okay, the Malcolm Tribal. Well, you know, JT was the first one to do it.
You haven't given JT enough credit? You're going to call the Combined Tribal Council now the JT Tribal Council?
Well, he changed the game in that Tribal Council when he got up and walked across the room to talk to Brad. I mean, that's just game changing.
Yeah, well, that is game changing, to be fair.
But this time it was exciting, like what could happen, but I wanted to see the conversations, you know, I wanted to give me a few subtitles, give me snippets.
Right. What's more exciting for us, the viewer, where if Jeff says, okay, no, you could talk, but you gotta like sit in your chair. Well, we all want to hear it.
Yeah. I don't necessarily even feel like it has to be like in the chair. I just want to like have some way of knowing what's happening.
I mean that... You would think that the players, their preference would be to whisper and not have their conversation overheard. But I wonder, is it better television if Jeff is like, nope, whatever you have to say, this is Tribal Council.
Right. Say it
this
now.
This is an open
right.
forum.
Force them
you
into
have something
it.
To say to Sarah, say it to Sarah. And then let right. everybody have a chance to weigh in. I mean, I kind of feel like that's the idea of Tribal Council.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean,
you
Jeff's
have all day
whole...
on the beach to whisper to each other.
The thing that Jeff says all the time, right, is what makes a really great Survivor player is that ability to both answer Jeff's question and communicate with the other players there, right? But if suddenly you're right, people are getting up and just acting like it's like another, like it's more of the beach. I think you're absolutely right. Right.
And Suri, just to speak to what you just said, that Suri really was trying to have her cake and eat it too with when she stood up and says, okay, what I'm doing here tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to expose a rat and I'm going to save somebody and then you'll see. So she was really trying to like sort of like calm Ty down and then also like signal to Sarah, what I'm doing here is I'm doing something positive for you. Wait till you see right. what I'm doing. Really trying to like have this double meaning with those players, but it was just too ambitious of a move. We've seen Suri pull off such amazing things in her Survivor career, but this was just too big of a move, and she didn't have the just all of the details
Do you admire her for like taking the swing though? I mean, like, there's something to that, right? Like, she went for it.
Steven, I talked about it. I think it was maybe with David Bloomberg this week, and this is something that you've touched on also, and certainly Zeke has said this coming away from his games, where I think that you make the big, bold move, and if it doesn't work, it's easier to live with that than not making a move and then regretting that you didn't make the move. It's easier to live with that I made a move, I tried something crazy, it didn't work, and I lost, rather than, boy, I wish I would have, you know, taken that swing and lost that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, it stinks that, like, Suri's move didn't come down to, like, betrayal, but it came down to like misreading, you know, like that stinks. What do you think of that, by the way? I saw a lot of people on Twitter, Sophie Clark among them, were complaining that it's a stupid rule. Now, it was the rule, but that it's a stupid rule, that the advantage should be transferable.
I think everything should be transferable and negotiable. I think it makes it for a more interesting game. But yeah, I mean, this really was the first time that we've had this happen on Survivor where it's like, no, read the fine print on that. That's really-
yeah, it's weird. Like, why? I mean, why would they make that rule? Like, the non-steal, like, no advantage can be stolen, right? So I get why it's like it can't be stolen, but like, literally, it was like for this specific reason, you know, like this moment justified that rule, but like for no other moment that I can fathom, like, is that rule justified?
Steven, do you remember that the vote steal that you had back in Cambodia?
I don't remember what the rule was.
Yeah. You don't remember that fine print?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
You assume though it was the same thing.
I don't know, actually. I mean, it's not necessarily, but like, what's the situation where, other than, right, what's the situation where like it being transferred would be a bad thing from the producer's perspective? I mean, maybe they just want to force a player to play it rather than like hand it off to another alliance member. I mean, honestly, like, maybe it was, I mean, maybe it's because of like the whole hot potato theory, right? Like, get rid of this as soon as you can, and so they want to force someone to like play it themselves.
Yeah, I'm maybe we, you and Dan Foley can piece it together. If
by the way, is this not is this not the advantage? Funny that like Michaela should go out at the advantage that she should have had in her hand.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
This was the advantage meant for Michaela sitting out at that challenge.
Yeah.
And then it ultimately leads to her undoing.
Okay.
So let that be a lesson. Always check under your feet at a reward challenge.
Well, I think people will moving forward. All right, yeah. I want to start to get into some of the questions. Anything else? Anything else major? This was a lot to unpack here. Woo, from
this was
travel.
A crazy episode with a lot of a lot of confusing things that, you know. Great move by Sarah, obviously. Really strong play from Sarah tonight.
Yeah, one other theory that just occurred to me of the reason why maybe you wouldn't have this thing be transferable, where you have at Tribal Council this scenario where Suri goes to play it. And right. I think that maybe what this does, it gives the producers an out on any sort of she said in this scenario where Suri is like, yes, Sarah gave this to me. And if Sarah was to say, no, I didn't. I never gave it to her. She took that out of my bag.
Right.
She took it out of my bag.
Because it's being used
have to sort of, settle that there at Tribal Council, and it could be like an ugly divorce to try to determine.
Yeah, but this is like a situation where literally everything that anyone does is captured on tape. You know, like, this is not a he said, she said. This is like, let's go to the tape. We have it right here.
Right. But if... that I don't know the exactly but I feel like that maybe that's a reason why they're saying that it's a non-transferable thing.
I guess that could be like the one reason.
Maybe
that's a pickle.
It's a pickle. Okay. All right, Steven, let's get into some of these questions tonight. Why don't you get it started with Andrew?
All right, Andrew L. wants to know, so could Suri just refuse to give the advantage back? It wasn't stolen. Does it just die if Suri is voted out holding it? I was actually wondering about this too. Throw it in the fire. I guess that's stealing it.
Yeah. So you want to just like take her advantage and then burn it in front of her?
That's stealing it, though, right?
I like that thinking. That's good thinking. I like that. Take it, throw it in the fire. Throw it in the fire. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is that destroying somebody's property? I mean, what's to say that you can't just like rip the hidden immunity idol out of somebody's and just throw it in the fire? So
yeah. No, I think if you don't give something back to someone when they request it, then you have technically stolen it from them. And so that's against the rules.
Yeah, I think that's no good. Okay. Clust Trusters says, with six players left, four idols, individual immunity, and a legacy advantage, could someone be voted out by default? I guess the four idols counts the legacy advantage. Yeah, I mean, we certainly could see that scenario next week where Ty plays an idol, Brad plays an idol, Troy Zan plays an idol, Sarah has a legacy advantage, somebody, you know, Aubrey or Suri wins immunity, somebody could just end up going home.
Yeah, it very well could happen. Yeah. What a terrible way. Well, would you rather go home by default or be voted out?
I think if that happens to Aubrey or Suri, you say, what could I have done?
Yeah.
I guess I could have beaten, I could have won immunity.
Right. No, I think that's right. I think that's better. Like, you know, Sierra Easton on Cambodia was so at peace with her elimination. It was because, like, she was idle out. You know, what could she do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Okay. Ashley Bedazzle wants to know, at this point, does Jeff need to end the whispering at Tribal?
I don't know necessarily. I mean, I think it's exciting once it starts happening, but I feel like that we do miss a lot of the information. And when you are sort of like forcing everybody to talk out loud, I think that maybe you have, you know, just as many opportunities for fighting. And I feel like because the players would rather whisper, I kind of feel like that we should make them talk.
Yeah. So the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It has not gotten bad, but I feel like that if the players want to be doing that, then I feel like that, you know, the Combined Tribal Council was a special case. You had two tribes there sort of trying to figure out what the vote was. But to me, I feel like that this is sort of against the spirit of Tribal Council. Again, it wasn't bad. I'm not angry or anything like that. I'm not pounding the table, but I feel like that they should make them stay in their seats and talk it out.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Young Kang Chan. Don't you think Suri is misled by Sarah that the vote steal can be used? If I'm not here tomorrow, then at least you have... Oh, what are we saying? This is entrapment now from Officer Sarah?
Well, I actually think this is a really good question, right? That if Sarah were voted out and Suri had the advantage to play, no one's going to call her on that rule. Like, I think Suri might have been able to get away with that advantage if Sarah actually were gone.
Yeah, but that's not the move that Suri tried to pull off.
No, I know. But like hypothetically, do you agree that if Sarah were gone, Suri actually would have access to the advantage?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure ultimately how that would have played. And I wonder if that's like a question that you have to, you know, pull a producer aside and get an answer to.
Yeah, that's an important one.
Yeah. And on that same note, I'd say also probably bad on Suri to not, you know, run this plan past somebody and sort of get the answer on that. And maybe she didn't. They just said like, I don't know, because the answer's on the clue.
I guess. Yeah. Depends who it was. Yeah. All right. Edric PCS wants to know, does Serene's misunderstanding of the advantage indicate that there are too many moving pieces in the game?
It's a fair point that if that one of the giants of the game can't even follow what's going on and they're on the show, maybe things have gotten a little complicated.
That said, right?
It was like her plan. It was her plan. I don't blame the show for this.
It was her plan. It's like one piece of parchment. It's not like they give you like a rule book to memorize. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, they also do that. But this was one piece of parchment, right? And it said on it. So like, good jujitsu from Sarah, right? For using it against Suri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Yeah, she was familiar with the rules, you know. Not everybody would read the Survivor rules.
I would.
Yeah. So, Maximilian says, did Suri vote for Aubrey as a way to prove to Ty that Aubrey voted for him? Fan fiction? Yeah, I don't think she was trying. I think that at that point, this was like a mob movie where Suri was sort of like exposed and she's like, no, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. You know, I think that she was just trying to prove her loyalty to Sarah at that point, but.
I don't even understand. Did Suri vote for Aubrey to prove that Aubrey voted for
Ty? I think that they were saying, was this like a, was this trying to be a hinky vote?
Huh.
I'm not sure. But I think that Suri was just trying to, you know, grasp at straws. I'll do whatever you want.
All right, Finian Williams wants to know, will Ty ever play an idol without being told to? He's had four, and the only one he's played was done with the instruction of Brad.
I mean, we don't know what Sarah said to Ty. I mean, maybe that right. this was like the, did Sarah tell Ty, hey, I'm going to take your vote away. Just don't play an idol. I promise it's not going to be you. Does she say something like that? And again, if you're Ty, I just don't understand. Like, I've said this for years. I'd rather play an idol at the wrong time than go home with not one, but two idols in my pocket. How does he, you know, sit there, that tribal council, have his name thrown about, have his vote stolen and not play an idol?
It's like what Bill Murray said to Scarlett Johansson at the end of Lost in Translation. We're not really ever meant to know.
We're not really ever meant to know. But I mean that for Ty, I mean that just the cojones on this guy to such a gambler.
Yeah.
Never plays these idols for himself. Okay. Joe Daly, Stephen, Ty knows he can use the idol on himself and not just other people, right? This came up on the voicemail podcast. Does Ty think he has the legacy advantage or the Tyler Perry idol with the two idols that he has? Can he play it after the vote?
It's crazy. Like, he really, like, he hasn't been wrong, though. You know, he hasn't got, it's, you know, so far in his two seasons, Ty has not ever been voted out. So, you know, so far he has been completely correct in his reads on people.
Yeah. I did think that was interesting how Ty and Aubrey were being asked about how they think that the jury will vote on this season. And I thought that that was interesting considering they were both losing finalists and that had happened so close to the real time in terms of the airing of that episode, just to get their take on how they think juries will vote.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was funny, too. And Aubrey was the one who said people would be emotionally hurt, right? And then Ty said that they would vote for the person who played the better game.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah. Was Ty throwing shade at Aubrey there?
Ty is Team Michelle.
Yeah, Team Michelle. Okay. I'll do one or two more questions. Nicolette, does voting out Michaela make any sense? She's the smallest threat of anyone on that side of the vote. Was it just simply that they felt like that she's the biggest threat to win a challenge?
I'm sure there's that. I also bet it's like, you know, these people have not liked Michaela for a while. Maybe they thought that, you know, Brad was obviously infuriated by her earlier in the episode. You know, maybe they were like, we're going down anyway here. We got no leverage. Let's just throw some votes at the person we like the least.
Yeah, but isn't she the biggest threat to break her foot as she keeps kicking things?
Also, that's dangerous. You know, people kicking things.
Not good. Not good. Her
Another Michelle reference.
Like, hey, Michaela, stop doing that. All right. One more question, Stephen. What does Darren have to say?
Darren Bukator wants to know, is a boring but unflawed resume better or worse than a good resume with some flaws? It's a good question.
Flawed resume. Yes.
The resume is flawed.
Yeah. I don't know. It really is going to come down to, who does the jury laugh? I do think that the resume talk, I think, is a fallacy. I think that people are going to vote for the person they like the best, you know. I'm trying to think of, is there a person that everybody loved, but then they didn't vote for in the final tribal?
Ever?
I mean, I'm trying to think that...
Me? There was me?
I mean, that if we just take a look at it, I think that really what it comes down to when there are people, when it's close, sure, I think people could say people made the best moves, but I feel like that it's going to come down to, you know, who did people have the best relationship with?
Right, right. I'm trying to think. Everyone loved Natalie Tenorelli. Probably. She's very charming.
I guess so. I guess when it's that lopsided where it's like, yeah, I can't live with myself that I voted for. I mean, I guess you say if it's not close, you have to say, okay, I have to give it to Boston Rob in this season.
Yeah.
But when it's, you know, if it's flip a coin, people are going to vote for the person they like better.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Okay, on the spot is hard.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
Yeah. People listening are going to be like, I can't believe
this
season.
If you guys have any more thoughts on this or anything else, send us in a question for our voicemail show coming up with Mike Bloom. We're going to be recording that on Friday. So plenty of time. You got about 48 hours to get your voicemails in before we get to that show. Rob is the website.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. that this is a little bittersweet, Steven. This is going to be our last know-it-alls together for the season because next week on finale night, I'm going to be at the finale, so I will be unable to record the know-it-alls with you next Wednesday night.
You know, hobnobbing with the glitterati while I once again do the hard work.
Yep, do the hard work. So much appreciated. But you will be in for a treat as Steven is back with honorary know-it-all, Sophie Clark.
Yeah, who had the misfortune to win the game, so really can never truly be a know-it-all.
Yes, so that should be a lot of fun. Steven and Sophie, of course, that I will have exit interviews for you guys, and I will be with Josh Wiggler the day after the finale to give my take on everything coming up there. So it should be a very interesting night coming up next Wednesday. And then, of course, we'll get into a lot of our off-season interviews as well with a number of the cast members as we get into the long off-season hiatus, Steven.
Yes, yes. A big summer break till we come back. Podcasts blazing.
Podcasts blazing. Okay, so we have, of course, double exit interview. Got Spencer, Mike Bloom on the way, so be on the lookout for all that. You can subscribe, robiswebsite.com/iTunes for all that. Steven, any hints on the fishy tonight?
Yeah, it's going to your fifth grade teacher who taught you how to read closely.
Okay, all right.
No. I go to Sarah, of course, to Sarah.
Okay. What, that,
right?
What, just for that reading the fine print?
I thought the whole thing of it, right, where she hands Sari an advantage as though it's a sign of trust, even though she's like not in any actual danger of Sari, you know, stealing it from her. Reading the fine print, playing it perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, really, almost every single week we come on here and talk about how it's the actions of Sarah that caused the person to go home.
Yeah, she is the straw that stirs the drink, in the words of a great man.
Yes, yes. I mean, she really has dominated the action here in the post-merge, whether or not it's a winning game.
Who do you say that about? There's like someone in particular, some player in particular, like you always used to say that about.
That was the straw. Was it Cochran?
Maybe it may have been Cochran in South Pacific. He used to always call the straw that stirs.
I mean, he did dictate a lot of how things were going, not necessarily by his strategic planning, but you know that he was in the middle of things often. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, great job, Steven. Also, I want to give a shout out, Steven, if I may, to my Uncle Freddie, who's been a recent convert to our Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Really?
Yes. So,
hi, Uncle Freddie.
Give a shout out to him, who's come on board watching the shows, very much enjoying the season. So hope he's doing great. And Steven, we will be back with much more Survivor coming up tomorrow.
I have a shout out, Rob.
Yes.
The Canadian fans were great.
Yes.
The know-it-alls we had in Canada, you know, you hear Canadians are real jerks.
No.
You always hear Canadians are incredibly nice people. And the people who came to Toronto, to the Toronto know-it-alls were certainly bore that out. They were so nice, so welcoming, so positive, so kind. I'm thinking of moving to Canada.
Wow. No, it was really great. Everybody that came out was just so happy that we didn't really think that you were going to come here. You know, like, we did it. We had such a great time last Wednesday night. So again, thanks to everybody who came out and met us. We really appreciate it. It was such a fun show. And would love to do it again. So Stephen Fishback and I will be on the road again down the line. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll be back with much more RHAP coming up tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.